Amen. Amen. This is kind of weird for me too, because I don't really know where to stand or walk. This is just kind of like, maybe I'll just stand right here and I won't move. But anyways, this is, I'm just letting my feelings out, trying to get rid of my nerves. But all right, but let's get into the Word of God today quickly. And you know what? Let me start by saying this. We have a mission statement here in Shift. And that mission statement kind of helps us hold to our purpose, hold to the design that we believe that God has put on the hearts of our senior pastors and the Rock Church. And so in this mission statement, the first and foremost thing that we purpose to do in a young adult service is to create an atmosphere, a healthy place where people can grow in their relationship with God. I think really anytime you have a church service, that should probably be the number one goal, all right, is that you're bringing people into a house of God where you can help them get in contact with God, grow in their relationship, become equipped in order to go out and do the work of the ministry, as the Bible says. And then after that come a number of different things. For Shift, it is this. After we purpose to help you grow in your relationship with God, our next purpose is to help you grow in relationship with each other. With the people that you're looking at across the room. We want to help you flourish in your relationships with other young adults. And let me say this, I really believe that if you're growing in your relationship with God, then you're also growing in your relationship with others, because that's God's will. That's God's design. When God created life and he created you, he did not design you to be a life of isolation, an island all to yourself. You do your thing while everybody else does their thing. When God created life and designed life, he designed it with this thing called fellowship, with this thing called camaraderie, with this thing called communion and intermingling. Now listen, I've taken a number of personality tests. Anybody taken, actually maybe not a number, maybe like two or three, but you've taken a personality test and you've kind of figured out whether or not you're introvert or extrovert or whatever. I am introvert. One of my personality types, I guess if you would call it, is that I'm an introvert. But I have to say, as an introvert, I enjoy being around people. I do enjoy some social interaction. And you know what? It's healthy for all of us. And so what we want to do is in Shift is we want to help you get to know the people that you're sitting next to you, get to know the people around you. And I'm here to tell you today that when you get to know people around you, when your relationships are flourishing in your life, that's when life is really the way that God designed it to be. Can I get an amen in the house? And so that's kind of why we have this battle of the sexes. And you're saying, Pastor Joe, how does fellowship and communion and unity go with a competition? Well, we are pitting the guys against the girls, but we are also teaming the guys up with the guys who otherwise would not have teamed up, and the girls with the girls who otherwise would not have teamed up. And hopefully, in this time, you kind of get to know somebody a little bit more than you have before. Maybe some of the walls break down a little bit, and hopefully, you'll begin to become comfortable with each other, so as maybe to open up your heart to somebody else, and maybe kind of share with them some of the things that you're going through, and maybe... have you ever thought about this? Pray for each other. Oh my gosh. I can do that? Yes, you can. Absolutely. Absolutely. You pray for each other and encourage one another and keep each other accountable. Hey, listen, you know what? Fellowship is an awesome thing of God. It is absolutely a blessing. And what a blessing it is that we have what we have in the body of Christ. And let me say this to you. When you got saved, when you became a Christian, you didn't just start a relationship with Jesus Christ. You were born into what the Bible calls the family of God. You are a part of a family. You were born into a kingdom. All right, kingdom does not just consist of Jesus and you. A kingdom consists of Jesus, you, and a whole lot of other people. Hebrews tells us that there's a cloud of witnesses up there taking a look at what we're doing down here, rooting us on, okay? And so you are born into a kingdom, and we need to act like kingdom people. If we're really going to fulfill everything that God has for us, if we're going to really reach the heights, all right, that God has for us in our Christian walk, we're going to have to get into this fellowship thing, this unity thing, and this coming together and becoming one thing. And what a blessing that it is. If you brought your Bibles, let me take you to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17. And as you turn, let me just say this again. What a blessing it is when brethren dwell together in unity. What an atmosphere of faith. What a presence of God. You know, you could be going through your week and your week is not turning out exactly how you'd like it to turn out, and different things are going on. And all of a sudden you walk into the house of God where there are people who are like-minded, where there are people who have the same spirit of faith, where there are people that are running the same race that you're running and fighting the same fight that you are fighting. How many of you know there's just something about knowing that you're not the only person going through the struggles that you go through and dealing with the things that you deal with and wondering the things that you wonder. I remember one time I was out with my cousin and I had this moment with him a long time ago. I don't even know if he remembers it. It was way back at Embassy and the invasion. And I came to him and I was like, Chris, I just don't understand. There's something going on in my life. It wasn't anything all serious. And I was expecting this super spiritual answer. And he just looked back at me and said, you know what? You're normal. And I started crying when he told me I was normal. And there was like this breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough in my life. And all he said to me was, you're normal. But you know what? God worked in my life through my relationship with somebody else. Amen. What a blessing it is. You come into an atmosphere of faith and where you thought your situation was hopeless before, all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, you know what? I can do this. I can make it. There is hope. And you know what? Life is worth the living just because he lives. Just because he lives. What a blessing we have in the unity of the body. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17, we find this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. All of a sudden, you come to the house of God. You come, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be church, but a gathering of believers, all right, where they are of the same mind, where they are growing together in oneness, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They've gathered together in his name. And all of a sudden you find yourself that the different areas of your life where they may have been dull, all of a sudden they're becoming sharpened. Why? Because somebody else is living a certain way. And you're like, man, you know what? I could do that too. I'm becoming sharpened. Where there's been dullness in my life, where there's been lethargy in my life, where there's been, I don't know, a hesitation in my life. You know what? So-and-so is doing this, and so-and-so is doing that, and God's working. You know what? I can do that. And all of a sudden, I begin to become sharpened. All of a sudden, too, I found this to be true, that, you know what? If we're really honest, I think we'd all have to admit that each one of us has our own brand of weird. Each one of us. You know it's true because you know you done said some things and you thought yourself, oh my God, what is wrong with me? You know, just looking back in some of your high school pictures, you thought to yourself, oh my gosh, did I really wear that? I really didn't have any friends in high school because they didn't tell me that I looked crazy. We all have our own little brand of weirdness. And you know what the reality is that when we get around each other, a tweaking takes place. We're tweaked. We get tweaked. We get our path gets set aright. We get set straight because all of a sudden we say something or we're talking about something and somebody just kind of gives you a look or all of a sudden they share a verse with you haven't considered before and you realize, oh, I was wrong. Dang, I'm jacked up. No. And you know what? Being together, my wife helps me keep my head screwed on straight. I promise you, all right? Being together helps us to be sharp. It keeps us sharp. It keeps us on the right path, all right? In Psalm chapter 133, verses 1 and 3, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Skip down to verse number 3, and it says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Hey, listen, there is a special blessing in the unity of the body, in a coming together, in a getting each other's back, everything that we've been talking about. And then it says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, and it says, life forevermore. And indeed, the life of God is when we gather together, is in our midst in a special way. And you can take hold of that as we get together. We also find this, that in the Word of God, that, you know what, each person has been gifted and graced in a special way. You are an individual, and God loves you that way. And God has the Bible tells us, has planned out your entire life, all right, before as yet there were one of them. He knew you in your mother's womb. Can you believe that? And he put you all together. The Bible even says that, man, God even knows the words that come out of your that are coming out of your mouth before they come out of your mouth. That's really quite amazing. And so God has graced you and gifted you and set you up a certain way. And he didn't grace you and he didn't gift you and set you up the way that he did so that you and I could go around bragging about what's going on in our life. The Bible tells us that God gifted us and graced us for the purpose of taking that gift and taking that grace and ministering it to somebody else. That's why you've been gifted. That's why you've been graced. If there's an area of your life where you think that you got it going on, you need to take a step back and realize God gave it to you to begin with. So maybe you might want to chill in the whole boastful thing, but then realize that it's not just for you, but it's for somebody else. And the Bible teaches us that when we all get together and we minister our gifts and the graces that God has put in our life, all of a sudden we are joined and knit together and we begin to grow into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. As I was looking over these verses, I wondered to myself, and I got to go quickly, but I wondered to myself, I wonder, maybe it's not possible for me to really fulfill everything in my life that I need to fulfill, come to the level and the height that I need to come to until I come to a place of unity with the people that are around me. I'm here to tell you today, I think that we miss out on things because we're not really into the fellowship thing. We're not really into the unity. We're not really into the oneness thing. Too many of us are, and I don't want to get down on anybody today because I'm guilty of it, but out for ourselves. We got bitter envy. The Bible says we have self-seeking in our heart. And as a result, you know what? We don't come together with people as we should. And therefore, we don't reach the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. But that will take place when you and I begin to minister our gift to one another. Again, we're talking about coming together. Finally, the last thing I want to share with you is this, that I find one more principle that I thought is important to point out. And it's the principle of what I'm just going to simply call, united we stand, divided we fall. I don't know who actually said that. I was looking up on the internet. I was trying to figure out who actually said that first, where that came from. And apparently a bunch of people have said it and nobody's really quite sure. So we're just going to leave it with united we stand, divided we fall. My dad and his brothers used to sing a song in church. United we stand, divided we fall. It's a spiritual law. Oh, sorry, this is, I can't help it. Sorry. It's a spiritual law. But you know what? Whether we know who said that or not, Jesus teaches us this principle. That when we are united, we stand. If we are divided, we fall. In Mark chapter 3, verse number 24, Jesus says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. That kingdom cannot stand. And you know what? When we are divided amongst ourselves, when we want to separate and we want to get into the division thing and the prejudice thing and the racism thing and the schism thing and all the isms that are out there, all of a sudden we find ourselves divided. And what really happens is the devil comes into our arenas of life and he begins to set up his kingdom and have his way. Because we're divided. Because we're divided. On the other hand, if we are united, I'm here to tell you today that there's nothing that we can't accomplish with Jesus Christ. When we are united, when we come together and we stand in oneness and on behalf of each other, the Bible says there is not anything that you and I cannot accomplish. That's when we stand. That's when we overcome. That's when we are victorious. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, Jesus tells us, again, I say to you that if two of you agree, notice he says two of you, not a single person. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Isn't that awesome? And it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. When we're gathered together in his name, when we are unified, when we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, as the Bible says, we come together in his name. The Bible says that we, if we agree on earth concerning anything that we ask, it will be done. That's exciting to me. There's a whole lot more than two people in here tonight. Amen. So what do you say? We just go ahead and take over the world right now for Jesus Christ and get an agreement and say, yes, I'm gonna agree with you. You're going to agree with me and we're going to step up in faith in Jesus. We found these promises in your word and we are declaring this. We're declaring this over the Middle East. We are declaring this over our country. We are declaring this over our family. We are declaring this over our lives and we know it shall be done because we come together. I guess really my heart behind this short message, which we're done with, is that is that today that you would be encouraged to get with each other and grow in your relationship with one another. Because indeed, like Psalms tells us, how good and how pleasant it is. The blessing of the Lord is there. The life of God is there. Accountability is there. Encouragement is there. Hey, listen, you're not being encouraged on your job. Let's just be honest. You're not encouraged when you sit down and you try to watch Melissa and Joey. I've been trying to find myself a show for a long time, but I can't find myself. They're all perverted. They all got stuff in it. And I think to myself, oh God, why did I even sit? Why do I even have a TV? This sucks. But when we come together and we are unified, all of a sudden, man, we are everything that God's called us to be. You know, I'll be honest with you. One of the things I know that kept me on the right track when, as a teenager, as a young adult, both in high school and college, was knowing I've been blessed. Maybe you were not blessed this way, all right? And that's not to say that, you know, you're less of a person or anything like that, because you do have a family in the house of God, which we're talking about. But I was blessed to be born into a Christian family. And my cousins and on both sides and my family members, they were Christian. One of the things that helped keep me on the right track was just simply knowing when these different opportunities of temptation and things came my way, I knew in my heart, you know what? My cousin, he's not involved in this kind of stuff. My uncles, they wouldn't be down with this. My brother and sister, my mom and dad, because they were serving the Lord, I knew, you know what? I'm not alone and I'm not a weirdo because I'm standing for the things of Christ. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to follow in the same footsteps that those who have gone before me have left, and I've been blessed in my life. And so that's the kind of thing we're going for tonight, is that you would think the same thing, that when you're out and, you know what, somebody's trying to tempt you to take cash out of the cash register, somebody's like, hey, you want to go smoke some pot on break, and hey, let's go to the strip club, all right, let's go to this club. You can say, you know what, I got brothers and sisters at the Rock Church who are my age, who show up to a Friday night, and I know they're not living this way, so I don't have to live this way either. And you could go on with the blessing of God. Come on, give it up for Jesus Christ if you got something good out of the word tonight. Amen. I want to bring up, where'd they go? I just saw their beautiful faces. Oh, there they are, right in front of me. Mike and Jen Nalbandian, they are a blessing to Shift. You guys can come. And so if you'll give it up for them, they're going to lead us into the last portion of our service.
Yeah,
and let's get these guys fired up. We need a holy rivalry up in this house today.
I'm scared.
A holy
now.
Rivalry. We need some people yelling and screaming and hold me back type of attitude. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to give up this mic, but I can't do it. last night I was feeling good, and I don't play Xbox as much as I used to, but last night I was feeling good, and I was tearing some people up at Halo. So I text my friend Adam Lopez. I was like, brother, you want some? You better get on right now. Let's 1v1. So we had three matches of one-on-one, and I'll tell you who won later because I don't want to embarrass him. Oh, wait, I might have already. But you know what? Mature people... Can have now. Listen, gosh, I can't stop. Just take this mic from me, Jen. Just take it out. Okay. No. Don't sit down. All right. When my family gets together, we do a lot of things. We eat. We laugh. But we do play some games. So please don't act today like you're too cool for some games. Because I think everybody likes some games. Everybody likes some competition. I mean, from the Coliseum to we've had competition. So let's get it going.
All right, y'all. You know what time it is. You're so right. Everybody stand up.
Well, hold on. Now that this place is filled up, if we have anybody here all for right. the first time, raise your hand.
Anybody here
yes,
for the
sir.
First
that's
time?
That's what I'm talking
right
about.
There.
I just want to make sure. Oh, you want
Welcome.
The mic back?
Okay.
Oh, we can do that at the end?
Sorry about that. And also, I just wanted, because some of you guys were late, first of all, I just want to say, hey, be on time to church. Anyway, and then the other thing was, next week we're having that barbecue, well, worship night, and then baptism and barbecue. Invite your friends, be here. Yeah. It's going to be amazing. Be on time. I'll see you guys. Actually, show up at like 6:45. We're here, and we're ready for you guys. Yes.
There you go. That's
okay,
that's
so now, everybody stand up.
Stand up.
Shake yourselves. Grab your stuff. Girls on this side. Guys on this side. Let's split it up. I don't care if you're dating or married. Guys on this side. Girls on this side. Let's get ready for this. It's about
yeah.
to go down. Let's do it, ladies. Let's do it. some of the ladies that you sit by. Say hi to some of the men that you're sitting by.
What?
Introduce yourself.
Look at this.
It's going down. Come on, ladies. You're getting your flags. Wave them.
Come on, boys.
Show your spirit,
men!
Ladies. There you go.
What's happening? I'm a guy, so I yell.
Oh, ladies, come on. You see these guys over here trying to act. Come on,
ladies.
Let me hear it.
Fellas. Ladies.
There you go, ladies.
Fellas. But just fellas. Because fellas are awesome.
I think we're going to win tonight, ladies. Let's have high spirit.
Men, let's scream and scare them. Ah!
No. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. One, two, three. Okay, come on, ladies! Ladies!
That's terrible. I watched a lot of like Avengers on my lunch break. I got my Hulk smash on, but let's get this going.
All right, ladies. What we're going to do right now to decide who goes first, the fairest way to decide is we're going to see who has the most Bibles.
Who brought their Bibles today?
Let's see. Hold them up, ladies. Hold them up. Hold up your Bibles.
Do phones count? Is it just?
Phones
I think it's just.
Count. If you actually use your phone, if your phone has an app on it with the Bible,
okay.
Then it counts.
We got. I think we got like 168 Bibles.
It doesn't look like more than what the ladies have.
We got 168 to 2.
I think the